What I want to share tonight, I apologize ahead of time to the Cockrums and Edie and Jerry, is I've shared this message at three other churches. At 5 weeks ago at Living Word on a Wednesday night, a big portion of it at Northwest, and then last week at Overflow is their new name, but the worship center at Westside. And I just never shared it here just because we had other things going on. But I really felt impressed of the Lord to share it tonight. So maybe it'll be different enough. You won't go to sleep. And so turn with me over to Luke 5:36. That was just awesome, prophetic, spontaneous worship. I'm just telling you, I am just so amazed at what the Lord is redeeming in this church and bringing back into this church and is happening. Our mantle is to carry the intimacy of the Godhead, all three persons. And so it can't just be in our teaching. It has to be reflected in everything we do. And that's why even in our format, you know, we start at 5:30. Supposedly the service starts at 6. It hadn't started at 6 in weeks. We usually go to about 6:30. It's not we're trying to be rebellious. It's not we're trying to do this. We're trying to model intimacy with the Father. And there is a form of life, but if you're not careful, busyness and form can overrule intimacy. And we have to be real careful with that. And so, but our worship has to model. Everything we do needs to point to the presence of Jesus Christ. And not just a doctrine, but a person. And so we've been on an unbelievable journey for the last year. I mean, we've been doing this for longer, but ever since Rosh Hashanah last year. And Rosh Hashanah is the first week of October, and it'll be a year. And the Lord has done so much in the last year among our group and other groups. I'm seeing Him move in different ways. And so, Luke 5:36, He told them this parable. This is Jesus talking. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. A lot of metaphorical talk here. I'll break down some of it, but we could spend weeks, so we're not going to do that. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. That North Georgia accent, ruined. They remind me on my call. I work remote. One guy works out of the east side of New York. One guy works out of Oregon. And they just have fun with me. No. Okay, I'm laughing, so I have to tell you this. It's been real stressful at work. We're all work remote. There's about five people on the call. And I've been the peacemaker. I mean, it's been intense. Lots of arguments. One guy after this one meeting, and I'm trying to be godly and try to be a peacemaker. I mean, they don't even know I'm a Christian, but I'm trying to do right. One guy afterwards calls up and goes, I hate you. He goes, you and your southern accent sound so smooth. I'm from New York and I sound like an A.H., except he used the word. And I thought, it's because you are. I didn't tell him that, but it's, had nothing to do with the accent, but people are fooled. Verse 38. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. The wine here, at a very high level, represents the Holy Spirit. The wineskin represents your lifestyle, which includes your routines, includes your habits, includes your thoughts, includes your behavior, includes your attitudes, and us together, it includes the church. We often make this about the church. The church has to get a new form. Well, the church is just us. And yes, the church will get a new form as we follow the Holy Spirit. But the main thing this is talking about is you and me. And that's the important point I want to get across. He's trying to make us new wineskins. If you've ever looked at, I've done a study years ago on wineskins. Over time, they were all leather. They weren't glass bottles like what we have now or plastic, whatever. The wineskins are all those things that we said. The wineskins is your soul, which is where your attitudes and your habits and your behaviors and your body, because that's what contains the wine. And so if you want new wine, which is just this, don't make it real pie in the sky. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want more of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, you want more of the power of the Holy Spirit, you name it, more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the box, the wineskin, your soul has to change. Now, it does not change overnight for one simple reason. We would all die. Look back to where you were 10 years ago. It's been little by little, line upon line. He keeps doing it. And now, for most of us, if you've been following God that long, say 5 years, you look back, you're quite a different box. You're quite a different wineskin that He's been slowly working on. And so, we often, in the charismatic movement, we talk about we want a new wine so that the power of the Holy Spirit comes in, so we have a new revival, so He changes the earth. Okay, there's some truth to that. But there's a bigger truth than that. There's not one new wineskin. I'm in the church because that's my mountain. I'm always studying the mountain. I'm into strategies. And everybody's going, what's the strategy for the new wineskin? They're trying to find the new wineskin. It's wrong. It's not going to happen. Because for each person, the wineskin is going to be different because the Holy Spirit wants to use you as a conduit to flow differently through you because your assignment is different. Now, where we come together as Relationship Church or whatever church you're a part of, there is some crossover. And where that crossover is, we join in and He changes us together. But the assignment of Relationship Church is very different than, say, Overflow or Living Word. Yes, there is some same values, there is some same crossover, but they've got caveats. They've got parts of it that is very different. My wineskin's not going to look like Living Word Church's wineskin in full. And that's where we mess up. So I want to give you some C's not to do and C's to do to help us get into the wineskin. Now, these are big picture things. I'm not going to give you details because you've got to wrestle with the Holy Spirit. If one thing you learn about being in this church is I don't usually give you 3 steps to success. I'll give you 3 steps to hearing the Holy Spirit. Then you've got to go off and hear the Holy Spirit for you. Because even with a, 35, 40, however many people here, there's no way I can direct your life. All I can teach you is to go to the director. And then He will direct your life. And then where our paths cross over, we walk together. And so, each of you, He is making you, and He is changing your wineskin to line up with the destiny that He wants you to follow in. Now, this is a big deal, you don't have to change. And I'm not a theologian, but I don't think it's probably wrong. Because at the end of what I just read, it said the old wineskin is good too. And I am seeing a huge division in the body of Christ. They're going, this is enough, I'm stopping here. I'm good. Now, if they keep their relationship up with God, that's between them and God. Most people, though, ignore or disobey the Holy Spirit. If that's the case, then you start falling back. This is the thing. The sovereignty of God will not give you a new wineskin. You have to agree with His plans for you. And you say yes, and then He starts changing it. And the key is His voice. I can't hear for you. You can't hear from me. Now, sometimes He'll give me a prophetic word or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for you, but you can't count on it. And when that comes along, it's great, but it's usually just, not always, but a lot of times just to confirm, or a lot of times just to jump in there to jolt you out of your wherever you're at to make you think in a different way. But the voice for you is the key. And so that's why it's a big deal. Wake up every morning and go, Holy Spirit, I love You. You're inside of me. What I want to make myself available, that if You want to talk, I am here. And There's two things as we go through these seas. Two things that move you forward. Hearing His voice and obedience. He doesn't like being treated like a buffet table. Well, I like this, but I don't like that. I like this, but I don't like that. I think I'm preaching this harder than I did at your church. Maybe because it's my people. Who knows? So keep this in mind. This is how you move forward in the kingdom. Hear His voice in obedience. The quicker you obey, the quicker you move through it. So, let's talk about some of these seas. And Michael Watkins even talked about these three C's this morning, so we'll go through them. The first thing is this. I'm going to give you three don'ts, and then we're going to get into some do's. But I want to set it up like this. He wants more than you can imagine to make you the slickest looking, most flexible wineskin on the planet. See, what happens with old wine in my studies, I was fixing to bring this up earlier and got sidetracked. The leather starts, it's got wine on the inside, but because it's exposed to the world on the outside, and the elements and the air and the oxygen, it gets inflexible. It gets hard. So the wine on the inside, you can't add new wine. Because then it starts, I even did a whole study on wine, especially red wine. Red wine has lots of acid on the inside of it when it first starts out. Lots of bubbles. If you put new wine like that, that's very acidic, it's not, smoothed out into an old wineskin, the old wineskin will burst because it's lost its flexibility. A new wineskin can hold it because it's not been exposed to the world very long. There's a good lesson there. And it's kept its flexibility. That's the key to moving forward. The voice, obedience, which is a sign of flexibility. Because when He asks you to do something, you can say yay or nay. But if you say yay or nay to what He tells you to say nay, you have to change something. And so flexibility is a mark of becoming more like Him and positioning yourself so that eventually the strong wine can be poured out of you and other people can drink it. So the first C is this. I've got a bunch of C's. We're not going to get through all of them tonight, but whatever the Holy Spirit was. Is don't copy. I'm going to give you all three of them, then we'll talk about them randomly. Don't copy. Don't compare, and don't compete. These are killers of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're going to copy other people because they're successful and go, that must be the way, then you're copying their call, and the Holy Spirit will not anoint you to do their call. You go, but they're successful in whatever it is. Pick it. Business, church, music, whatever it is, creativity. You go, I want that. That looks cool. You can ask Holy Spirit for it, but if you start copying and doing what they did to get there, listen to me, you will have limited success because the Holy Spirit only anoints what He calls you to do. He will not call David Cooper if he starts trying to imitate me. It's just not going to work. He may be able, good enough in his own administration skills and his own self-discipline to do something, but it's not going to have the anointing of the Lord on it and eventually get burned out. Jesus is a master 3D chess player. 3D chess. They actually make those boards. How many of you are, I'm showing my age, Star Trek fans and Spock would play 3D chess? A couple of you, several. You got a Star Trek shirt. Yeah, he's got the Star Trek shirt on. Okay, I can't even play 2D chess, let alone 3D chess. It's hopeless. But the father plays 3D chess or maybe 11D chess. I don't know. And it is amazing the wineskin he is building in you. And what happens is the devil tries to distract you with the pleasures of the world. And the father is saying, listen to my world. I'm going to produce something in you that is new. What does that new mean? It's so obvious. It's just one word in Luke. New wineskins. That means it's never been seen before. So if you're copying, you're copying something old. Now, old is good, and maybe there's some values you could pick from it, maybe some good things you can pick from it that the Lord will show you. But new means you haven't seen it yet, so you have to rest in Him and you can't copy it. It is absolutely abominable what churches in America are doing. There is one model that is guaranteed, if there is a guarantee, to fill up churches. I'm not going to get into all that. Every church across this country is copying that model. The reason that model works is because it's built on what Americans like and not necessarily what Jesus, the head of the church, wants. You can't have 100,000 churches all doing the same exact same thing and think Jesus, He blesses what He can, but He can't inhabit all of that. He is into variety. Now, yes, there's going to be some crossover. Yes, there's some good principles. But your life is not going to look like everybody. Like Susan's is going to be different than Josh. Yes, they got a lot of crossover. They're married. They got kids. But they each got their own individual calling and wineskin. And one of the temptations of the devil is he comes in and goes, look what's happening. When he sees an anointing on your life, he tries to distract you. Look what's happening over here. Don't you want that? Almost always when we copy, it's because we're dissatisfied with where He has us at the moment and we want to change instead of dealing with the dissatisfaction. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Facebook. I told you earlier I'm not on it much. But the reason I'm not on it much, one, is time. But two, and it's just speaking for me, I have a hard time. I mean, I compare too much. Does that make sense? And so when I get off of that, people are blessed. I'm happy they're blessed. People are doing things, and it's probably fine for you. But I get off and I'm depressed. I go, why am I depressed? Because subconsciously, I'm comparing my stuff, my issues, my habits, my routines, my attitudes, by what I've given with somebody else. And I get off and I'm subconsciously, I started, Lord, why am I depressed? He says, because you think I'm not treating you well enough. You think I'm treating this person over here better. But you really don't know what's going on behind the scenes over there. They just say, do, whatever. And he says, ultimately, you're not happy with what I'm doing with you. So when I stopped looking, immediately I started feeling better. Now that might not be for you. I'm just using that as an illustration. But I had to stop comparing my church to other churches, my job of other jobs, and go, Father, I thank You that You are building something awesome in me. I thank You that I am a new wineskin. I thank You maybe nobody looks like me, acts like me, and behaves like me, and that's probably a good thing. But You like me. Because that's how You made me. And so, don't compare, don't copy, don't compete. Oh my gosh. We could talk about that, but I think that's pretty obvious. If you start going, well, my church is better, my life is better, my job is better, my car is better, I'm telling you, it is a dead-end road, and you will end up depressed and discouraged because no matter what you get, there's always something better somewhere. And so one of the C's you want to do is to stop copying, comparing, and competing is to do celebrate. When you see somebody successful, this is something for me. Maybe it'll work for you. When you see something that's, wow, that is awesome what's happening over there, and you feel that I'm not quite up to that level. Why hasn't that happened to me? Am I a second son in the heavenly realm? You know, why is my boat hasn't come in yet? Whatever you want to fill it in. Why are they healthy and I'm not healthy? For me, the biggest thing to help break that is to start celebrating what the Father has done to that his other child. You can call it thankful, you can call it gratitude, but celebrate's a C, so it fits in with my message. Just start saying, Father, I thank you that you have blessed, you know, Jerry back here, and you have given him whatever, and you are moving in his life. Or if you see somebody prophesying, you go, I want to do like that. This is what I do. Say, Father, thank you for flowing through them. I want to be like that in your timing, but thank you. Celebrate what God is doing in other people. And it starts, at least for me, taking the copy, the compare, and the compete out. So I encourage you to try it. And because God loves you just as much as them, and celebrate diversity. As I've said so many times here, there's just something in us that we are scared to look different than other people. And so one of the C's we need to do is do courage. Courage to do creative. There's two C's. Do creative and do courage. And to do creativeness takes courage. It's like the music that John Freeman does with A Path of Great Resistance. There is nothing else like that out there. Now, I'm not into that genre, and maybe there's 100 of them. But what I've seen with that genre, you can go to The Path of Great Resistance on YouTube and listen to their music. Songs they've written, style, with a Christian emphasis. There's nobody else doing that. If they were copying, you wouldn't have that. And so they have to be courageous in their creativity to say, I am going to be creative, I'm going to listen to the Father. And so this is the thing, when He ever gives you a new idea, a new thought, how many of us go, what is other people going to think? Am I the only one? Now, I don't think you can probably stop that. That's just sort of human nature, because we're social creatures, God's made us social. But when we get that, go, they might not like it, but I don't care. I'm going to have fun with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just see where this thing goes. And that takes courage. It takes bravery to be a new wine. If you're a coward, don't be a coward. That's another C. Don't coward. That's why I said I got so many. That's why I don't do PowerPoints, because I bounce around. Don't be a coward. It takes courageous and bravery to be a new wineskin, because you don't really quite know where it's going to end up. Because this is a biggie. Do compass. Okay, what does that mean? It doesn't quite flow, but there's a C's in there. He leads you like a compass and not a map. He gives you a direction, not details. When He tells you to do something or to change something, it usually scares you. That's why you got to have courage. And He says, go northwest. I'm being metaphorical here. Yeah, but when I start moving northwest, where am I going to end up? See, we want a detailed map. Now they're all electronic maps, usually Apple, Waze, Google. Can you even buy a map in a convenience store anymore? They're probably 10 years old. I remember showing my age in my glove compartment. Man, I had it all together. I was in Atlanta, so this is 40 years ago. I had a map of Atlanta, had a map of Georgia, had a map of the Southeast. I was prepared. I'm not even sure if somebody under 30 can even read a map. Can you read a map? Tell me yes, maybe. But anyway, before you went somewhere, now you just say, I want to go to Panama Beach. You don't even hardly look at the whole thing. It just gives you a direction. You could look at the whole thing. That's sort of how it is following the Holy Spirit, except He doesn't give you the whole detailed map. You just start moving in a direction. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I hate that. I do not like that. I want to know every turn. I want to know every direction. I want to know how many miles it is to this next thing that he's asked me to do. I want to know what it looks like. I want to know who's going to be involved. And for those of you that have been following the Lord a lot, you will agree with this. Those that haven't been following the Lord a lot, I'm going to give you a insight into following the Holy Spirit. He does not do detailed maps. He doesn't even give you second steps most of the time. That's just the way he is. Get used to it. Why? Because if he gave me a detailed map, I'd probably forget about him. And when I got to Panama Beach and did what I was supposed to do, I go, I'm here, Lord, what's next? And I forgot about him for the last 8 hours. He wants us to be people of faith, to be relying on the next word, and it drives me crazy. I'm just being honest with you. Maybe it doesn't drive you crazy. But that's where you walk by faith and not by the detailed map. Where you walk by faith and not by sight. So get used to it. My leadership here over the years, poor guys. As you can tell, we're very, to use a business term, sort of entrepreneurial, trying different things. Almost all the time, the Lord just gives me directions. I'm sorry. A direction, not detail. So I'll go into a leadership meeting. I go, I think we're supposed to be going, starting this. And it's many of them have been sort of radical ideas. And they're shocked, like I was shocked. Of course, I had a week to get over it. And they go, where are we going? And I go, I really don't know. But it's no different than your individual life. Well, what's the details of when we get there? I don't even know when we're going to get there. I don't even know what the next direction is. So what does it boil down to? Us all here in the Holy Spirit going, should we be going in this direction? We have no idea where it's going. And you learn to trust the voice of God in each other. And sometimes we miss it. You go, well, I missed it. But it's better to miss it than to wait for a confirmation forever, because you're not going to probably get the confirmation. And if you did, you probably missed the timing and you should have done it 3 years ago. Most people wait too long, and then all of a sudden he starts talking to other people to do it because you didn't do it. And you go, yeah, that was God. And you move out and you miss the timing of it. Because now what are you doing? You're not following his voice. You're copying. Now there is wisdom in counselors. I get that. Depending on the thing, get wisdom, get counselors, read into it, get confirmation. There's a process here. But the big picture is don't copy, don't compare, don't compete, celebrate. Be creative, and it takes courage. I'm telling you, people that say Christianity is boring, they are not walking the Christian life. They may be Christians, but I'm like, what God do you follow? I've never seen boring in Acts. I've never seen boring in the minor prophets. I've never seen boring anywhere. And your life is not boring. It'll look different than mine. It'll take creativity, but you go back to him and he gives you the plan, or maybe through others he speaks different ways. Be courageous and realize he's a compass. Amen. You just got a bunch in 30 minutes. I'll send you a bill in the mail. You have to tithe extra. Let's stand. Let me pray over you guys. It's been such a good evening. I appreciate it. I mean, we've been here for 2.5 hours, counting the 5:30, but God is good. I want to tell you, I've gone to great churches, especially Living Word and Worship Center at Westside Northwest, and it is neat to see the variety that he's doing in before churches, you can't relationship church. It is so cool. All of these different churches are seeking God, and there's some variety, and there's some new wineskins, and it's so cool. How can I tell if God is working in your life, and in my life, and in your church, and my church? It's not a Xerox. You old young people, you don't even know what a Xerox is. He's shaking his head. All right, a copying machine. It's not a copying machine. Man, I'm feeling old right now. Ever since the Star Trek reference. It's all good. It's not a fax either. Does anybody even use a fax anymore? They use fax machines. Wow, now that's a throwback. All right, get on subject. Let's pray. But I love you guys, and I'm excited about what God is wanting to do, and I wanted to share that word because I think it's a critical time, at least for some of us, to hear His voice and to know some of the characteristics of how He moves. Because He is making all of us a new wineskin. Why? The form is not that important. I mean, it is important, but it's so that new wine, which, I mean, we got the Holy Spirit, but we get more of Him inside of us. Amen? So, Father, I thank You for every person here. I thank You for their tenaciousness. I thank You for their persistence. I thank You for the skills You're developing in them. I thank You that You are making them into special forces. You're making them into Delta Force to change this world with a new wine that is flowing through them. And I'm just going to tell you, just speak here prophetically. What you think that little thing that the Lord is asking you to do is not that big of a deal. It is a big deal because it sets you in a different direction because you don't know what that, it's at the end of that direction. So just quickly obey and go with that. Because what He's wanting to see is how obedient you are and faithful you are. And then you'll get the big picture down the road. And so, Father, I thank You for the creativity that's in this room. Not just for this church. That's probably going to be the smallest part of it. But creativity and relationships. My goodness, we need families restored. We need relationships restored. I thank You for creativity and their mountain, whatever their area, their mountain is. If you don't know that language, that's your area of society that you're to influence. I thank You for their creativity and their work environments because our work needs it. Just like Daniel and Joseph were good at what they did in their environments. And Father, I thank You for creativity and courage. And I just bless them with a Father's blessing, Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.